Next thing you know, she'll be saying she was barefoot. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principle Policy. And along with me today, as usual, is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
Good to be back with you again, Barry.
It's good to have you here. Well, actually, you're there and I'm here.
Isn't that the way it always is? You know, there's an old saying, wherever you go, there you are.
Well, that is the beauty of technology, ladies and gentlemen, that Chuck and I can be here and share this time together, even though there's now more than 100 miles separating us, because I'm on the road for my business, and I carry along my handy little portable studio with me, my microphone, mixer, and my laptop. And with the wonders of Skype and a couple of other programs that we use in order to make it all sound right, this works out pretty well.
Yeah, it's not too bad. It's not as good as when we sit face-to-face in the studio, but it still works, and you can hear what we say. That's what really matters.
Yeah, that is a big part of what matters. It probably would be better if we all just went out and worked, wouldn't it?
All of us, that's right.
All of us, every one of us, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, everybody should just be out in the workforce, because if you're not out there, you don't have a say. Well, that's according to at least one liberal Democratic strategist. Chuck, I'm going to let you run with this one because you've been doing the research on this, and honestly, you've come up with some interesting thoughts.
What we've been talking about, what we talked about a little bit yesterday, was we started out talking about White House access, and we ended up talking about this Hillary Rosen, who is
SKD Knickerbocker, yes.
SKD Knickerbocker, which is a public relations firm that has very strong ties to the Democratic National Committee and the White House. And we talked about the background of this woman. She has direct access to the White House, is making gobboons of money hand over fist by signing up clients who want to use her direct access to the White House to sort of fly under the radar regarding having access to the President of the United States. This is the woman who made the rather stupid statement, and there's no other way to characterize this, Barry. The people around the president have chosen to pick up his meme of a quote-unquote Republican war on women. And in fact, she had accused Ann Romney of, quote unquote, never working a day in her life because she's a stay-at-home mom. Well, as any of us who know anything about stay-at-home moms, wow, stay-at-home moms are some of the hardest working women out there. The fact that they're not necessarily bringing in a paycheck does not mean that they are not being productive. Because let me tell you, my wife works very hard. Now, our kids are much older now, and she has a job where she works at home, just like I do. And yet still, with a almost 22-year-old daughter, an almost 20-year-old daughter, and a 17-year-old daughter, we're busy. We are majorly busy. So I'd say that Hillary Rosen doesn't know what she's talking about, but she also seems to have a political tin ear because she doesn't know when to shut up and take her lumps. And take her lumps, because she's been called on this, and she just simply refuses to shut up. Now, it's been said that she has apologized to Ann Romney. Let me tell you, this quote-unquote apology is as big a non-apology as you've ever heard. In fact, basically what she does is she says that she's sorry that Ann Romney was offended, but she doesn't take anything back. And she doubles down by basically saying Ann Romney is no expert on women, but I am, meaning Rosen herself is an expert on women. Trying to claim that this is not a war on stay-at-home moms, it's a war on the Republican attempts to cut benefits for working women. Well, okay, let's look at it from a constitutional perspective, Barry.
Yes, let's do that.
Where in the Constitution is the authority for the federal government to provide daycare for working mothers?
Oh, wait a minute. Here, let me grab a copy of the Constitution. I think it's in here somewhere. Chuck, I can't find it.
That's because it's not there.
Oh, I must have a defective copy of the Constitution. Maybe I should call Hillary Rosen and get her more complete version of the Constitution.
Well, of course, she'll point to the General Welfare Clause.
That's right. Well, which if we're talking about it in this respect, is specific welfare.
That's right. Let's read some of Rosen's statement, and then you can see exactly what I mean. Here's what she said. Here's the complete statement from Hillary Rosen, quote, "Let's put the faux war against stay-home moms at rest once and for all. As a mom, I know that raising children is the hardest job there is. As a pundit, I know my words at CNN last night were poorly chosen." In response to Mitt Romney on the campaign trail referring to his wife as a better person to answer questions about women than he is, I was discussing his lack of a record on the plight of women's financial struggles. Here is my more fulsome view on the issues. There's a link to an article, and we'll go out to that later. Quote again, "As a partner in a firm full of women who work outside of the home as well as stay-at-home mothers, all with plenty of children, gender equality is not a talking point for me. It's an issue I live with every day. I apologize to Ann Romney and anyone else who was offended. Let's declare peace in this phony war and go back to the focus on the substance." That is basically not an apology.
No, it's anything but.
That is saying that she wants the Republicans to declare a truce on the war against stay-at-home moms, which Rosen and her ilk are waging. But she still wants to fight this quote-unquote fictitious war on women that Republicans are fighting, because this is the campaign meme that the Obama White House has chosen in order to win the election by garnering the female vote. So, as the pundit who writes this article says, this is not an apology. It is a declaration of war, and I agree with that. This is a declaration of war.
Absolutely.
The piece to which Rosen links says that Ann Romney is not an expert on women and essentially makes the claim that she can't speak for women because she was a stay-at-home mom. She says that gender equality isn't a talking point for her, but she also deems certain lifestyle choices disqualifying in terms of representing other women. That's exactly the point, Barry. This is a war on the traditional family.
Absolutely.
This is something that we as conservatives have been talking about now for 40 years. And what we've been getting is flack, and lately we're even getting flack from inside the church. But the fact is, this is a war on the traditional family. Now, again, if you want to live in a non-traditional family, please do so. And be assured that when the bill comes due, that we are definitely going to squawk about paying it for you, because the bill is due. We are living in a post-traditional family society, and where are we? What percentage of children are now born out of wedlock, Barry, in this country?
I'm going to have to look that up, but I believe that the numbers are increasing yearly.
If I remember right, now we can check this, but I think it's over 40%, something like that.
Very much so.
What's the divorce rate?
Well, it depends, Charles. As many in the church have been led to believe, well, the divorce rate inside the church is no different from that in the general culture, you have to take a couple things into account, Chuck, because the divorce rate among those who are married for the first time is significantly lower inside the church than it is outside the church. As a matter of fact, it's 80%+ of those who it's a first-time marriage for them, stay married in the church. And also, we have to understand, and there's been some studies that have been done. It's interesting you bringing this topic up, because there has been some research that has been done that links those who cohabit before marriage, in other words, you live together before you get married, that leads to a greater potential for divorce.
Exactly.
And so you have to take those factors into consideration, but many in the church are hearing this, well, you know, the numbers are the same inside the church as outside as far as the divorce rate. That's not the case once you parse the data and look at it carefully. What you're going to see is those who have a strong faith and have a profession of faith and are married tend to stay married and tend to stay faithful in their marriages. Those who live together before marriage or are on their second or third or fourth go-arounds, their rates of success are much lower.
Exactly. In fact, what you find is that part of that data is skewed by multiple divorces and remarriages. Now, that's not really our point, but the fact is, this is a sign of living in a post-traditional society. And by traditional, I mean Christian worldview, Christian values. That doesn't mean everybody in the society was a Christian. It means that that was the predominant worldview.
That's right.
Now, What do we know about Hillary Rosen? Well, we went over some of it in the last show about her sexuality and her political connections. But it turns out that when we do a little searching, we find out that one of the people that we made a big deal about a few weeks ago was someone named Sandra Fluke. This was the woman who was the Columbia Law School student, the 32-year-old Columbia Law School student, who basically matriculated in the Columbia Law School. Georgetown. Georgetown Law School. And she matriculated specifically at Georgetown in order to change their policy regarding birth control and abortion and the contraception, because Georgetown is a Jesuit university, meaning that it is a Catholic university.
Yes, it is.
So Sandra Fluke was attempting to force Georgetown to change its policy and to use the power of the government to affect this change. And it turns out that she is hooked up with Hillary Rosen and SKD Knickerbocker, this PR firm that Hillary Rosen is a practice.
How shocking, Chuck. How surprising. Yeah. That's like the old scene from Casablanca. Gambling? We don't allow gambling in here. Here's your winnings. Oh, yeah. Thank you very much.
I'm shocked. Shocked. There's gambling going on in this institution. Here are your winnings, sir. Yes, exactly. Now the pieces of the puzzle begin to come together. Hillary Rosen is a soldier in the Obama army that essentially seeks to destroy the traditional family. Mm-hmm. And there is a reason for that. One of the things that progressives have been attempting to do forever is create a governmental situation where the state assumes care of the children in order that both parties in a marriage can go to work and raise more revenue for the state. And that's the situation we find ourselves in. I think you'll find that if you look around, you'll see that President Obama attempted to make a statement, something along the line that he and Michelle never had the luxury of being able to have Michelle stay at home with their children. Well, Barry, I asked the question, why didn't you have that luxury? Why is something that before the 1970s wasn't a luxury at all, was a common practice, why all of a sudden does no one in this country almost have the luxury of being able to have stay-at-home moms? It's not because the women necessarily want to be out of the home. I think you'll find women who are devastated very often when they have to walk away from a 3-month-old infant and go back to work full-time. And the reason they have to do that is because of the onerous taxation.
I was going to say, since we've just gotten past the filing deadline for taxes, I'm sure many of our listeners can intimately understand what the problem is.
And that's exactly it. Now, there's another issue, and that is basically we want all these luxuries. But even if we cut the luxuries out, people still can't afford the taxation. If we were to cut taxation back to the levels of the even before the 1950s, when the single worker family was able to make it very well, then we wouldn't have this problem with women having to abandon their children in order to go back to work to make sure that you've got enough money so that you're not driving a 12-year-old car all the time, which, by the way, my car just turned 10 years old, so I just painted it off. But making the amount of money that I make, I should be able to afford new cars all over the time. My newest car is 6 years old.
I was going to say mine's 12 years old, so you hit me right in the time zone.
and like I say, that shouldn't be. There's a problem, and the problem is when I look at how much I lay out in taxes. It is a huge percentage of my income. It's a huge percentage of everybody else's income. And here, basically, what Rosen is fighting for me to pay more so that someone who has made bad lifestyle choices can get government-subsidized health care. That's what this is all about, Barry.
That's what this is all about. That's right.
That's exactly what it's all about. It's about creating people who are dependent upon the state and forcing others to pay for that dependency on the state and basically using that dependency to buy votes. And let's not kid ourselves. This is not necessarily a Democratic Party phenomenon. Both parties are playing this game. They're playing it with different strategies. The Republicans are playing it with corporate welfare. The Democrats are playing it with personal welfare.
That's right.
But the fact is, in both cases, it's welfare. Now, that being said, guess what?
We're out of time.
Yeah. So join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.